Today we celebrate Ascension Day. As you look around, it may not look like there's anything different about today. The pews are no more crowded. Those who show up for the big days are not here. Ascension Day isn't well remembered or very popular. If you go over to the local Hallmark store and you try to find a card for the Ascension Day, you'll be disappointed. See if you can find a card wishing someone a happy or a merry or a blessed ascension. You won't find one. Because our world hasn't grabbed hold of Ascension Day and converted it into a secular holiday. Our world hasn't commercialized Ascension Day, and therefore we in the church have given it little thought. So who's leading who here? Most Christians allow Ascension Day to slip by unnoticed because Hallmark doesn't provide a card, Amazon doesn't provide free one-day shipping so you can get your Ascension Day presents on time, your work doesn't allow you to take off for the Ascension Day holiday. Unfortunately, it's kind of telling of us. The lack of attention given to Ascension Day shows that we rely upon the world rather than Scripture to teach us what is and what is not worthy of celebration. And I wish that's where it stopped, with the world and with holidays. But the symptoms go much deeper. We have the world, we have others, we even have our own self in hearts, all telling us at all times what to celebrate and what not to celebrate, how to live and how not to live, what to do and what not to do. Who do we listen to? The Lord. Not the world. Not others. Not even our own sinful and selfish voices. We listen to the Lord. I think I might have an Ascension Day service next year. It always falls on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter, and we'll see who all shows up. How would you celebrate it, Ascension Day? What kind of message would you write in an Ascension Day greeting card? I came up with a few. Try to be more creative than Happy Ascension Day. How about this? Up, up, and away. Wishing you a cloudy day. Every cloud has a silver lining. Okay, maybe none of those. I've spent some more time thinking about this than probably is healthy. I think I've hit upon the perfect Ascension Day card. Try this one out. Gone to heaven, just wait until I come back, and then it will be yours. You like it? I believe it captures the essence of the holiday, but I can imagine you may not like it very much. Because the essence of Ascension Day is waiting. And we've been influenced by our world and by others to see waiting as a very bad thing. We celebrate the Christian holidays that have nothing to do with waiting. Christmas, Jesus is here. He's born. Hallelujah, let's celebrate. Easter, Jesus is here. He's risen. Hallelujah, let's celebrate. Ascension Day, Jesus is not here. And we have to wait. That's not the American style. Don't get me wrong, I don't like waiting either. Even the small things, microwaves and toasters, are not fast enough for me. Neither is the Instapot. Red lights are a drain on my schedule. Checkout lines are atrocious, and the very concept of waiting rooms should be abolished. Please have a seat. No, thank you. You see, I don't wait well. I need whatever I need now because I know what I need and I know how to get it, and I've already spent too much time explaining this to you. You see, waiting is a waste. Literally, no company could capitalize on the essence of this holiday, which is why it's not marketed. Our world does not like waiting, and neither does our sinful flesh. Who has time for waiting when you already have all the answers And the only thing that stands in your way is this meaningless time in your eyes and wasted spaces and missed opportunities to capitalize on your plan. We see waiting as a bad thing. But the scriptures see waiting as a good thing, a holy thing. The psalmist cries, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord, be strong, wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. Oh, I wait upon the Lord." Jesus ascends into the heavens. His disciples are waiting for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. And they say, "Lord, when will you? Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus says to them, "It's not for you to know times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And they were gazing into the heavens, and behold, two men stood by in white robes, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven?" They stand because they're waiting, all ready for him to come back. As the soldiers from old left on trains bound for war, their spouses lingered, waiting with expectation for them to come back home. And so the disciples wait for the Lord. A friend of mine went to a 3-hour Good Friday service in a small church. He showed up late, and he was surprised to see every single person in the pews still standing. From the youngest to the oldest, they stood. After about 20 or 30 minutes, and them all still standing, he finally leaned over to one of the parishioners, and he said, "Why are we still standing?" And the man looked at him and said, "We stand in expectation. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven." And with those words, the disciples, whether they liked it or not, were thrown into a period of waiting. Waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Holy Spirit. Waiting in expectation for the promises of God to be revealed. So, what did they do in the period of their waiting? They didn't fill the void with Snapchat and Instagram. They didn't rush to their own agendas and plans. We're told they returned to Jerusalem, went up to the upper room, and they devoted themselves to prayer. They didn't go to God with their answers. They waited on His. They prayed with one accord together. They prayed. Prayer and waiting. That's the Lord's medicine to the soul that believes it has all the answers. Our world teaches us to say, our own sinful voice teaches us to say, "I know what I need." But our Lord teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done," and to wait for thy kingdom to come. And he teaches each and every one of us, when we are thrown into these periods of waiting, we pray, we rely on him and him alone. We see that all things are in his hands, and we wait upon him to give us the desires of our hearts. As Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. This is the desire of every Christian heart. to delight in the Lord, to walk in full communion with Him, to be one with Him and in Him, for His face to shine upon us and to be gracious to us and to give us everlasting peace above all other things. This is what we wait for in expectation. And it is ours now by faith. But on the last day, it will be ours fully in a much better way when our Lord returns. There is much more that we wait for. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." It is the greatest desire of the Christian. We're especially mindful of another desire today, of our hearts, when we lose a sister in Christ. That it is our heart's desire to live with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, our children, our grandchildren, for eternity in heaven. To be one with them as we are one in the Lord. And this too is ours now by faith. And it will be fully ours on the last day. When our Lord returns, there is much, much more that we wait for with expectation when it comes to death. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." This is, whether we like it or not, a period of waiting in the face of death. And so we pray. And we wait for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The new heavens and the new earth. We wait in expectation for our Lord to come again in all glory and power and authority and to fulfill His precious promises to us, especially when we see death, especially when everything seems hopeless and when all seems lost, when we are thrown into our own bitter times of waiting. We pray along with the disciples and with all the company of heaven. Those last words given to us in Revelation: "Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord." Amen.